Well, I'll tell you, last week was a rough week for me. I broke up my psychiatrist, too, last week. He told me I'm going crazy. I said to him, if you don't mind, like a second opinion. He said, all right, you're ugly, too.
And then I'll do a chapter about your love of the Lord.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Can I co-write that chapter?
You know what? You can do the introduction.
Is that right?
And it can be all about your love of the Lord.
Well, God bless you, Chris.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Bets and Quotes podcast, a podcast for the Rubes, by the Rubes, talking all things Power Trip. Bets and Quotes is hosted by Chuck, better known as Power Trip Bets, and Dave, the one and only Power Trip Quotes. They were going to get an apartment together and see how things went, but settled on a podcast instead. Our legal disclaimer is simply that Lawyer Lambert probably likes us better than you, so good luck suing us. We hope you enjoy this episode, but if not, feel free to play Jax on $4.94.
Well, Dave, you got to play golf with meat sauce, my sources tell me. I should do it in true Dark Star fashion and say, where'd you hit it on one? But I'm just going to say your thoughts.
You know, Golden Valley Country Club is a Todd's paradise. it's an absolutely tremendous facility, and I was very fortunate to be able to play there. Yeah, it was a great time.
So, do you think hockey's jean shorts will be allowed?
No, it clearly states in their website that there is no denim permitted at Golden Valley Country Club. So, as Chris Hockey, I was pretty surprised that I got away with it.
Well, how'd you shoot?
You know, I probably hit the ball off the tee as well as I've hit it all year. I had the driver working. I was nuking it. And, the other guys in the group were pretty impressed with that. Iron play and, putting, I was on in two and I think three of the five par fives, because it's a par 73. Mm. And I came away with par at all of those. Just one birdie on a par three. I think I turned in a 77. So didn't play too bad, especially, par 73, 77, four over. Not too bad. But yeah, very fun.
Awesome. That is fun. I didn't see any memes from Sauce that day breaking his club over his knee, so I don't think he quit golf that day, but...
No, he'll save that for another day.
Well, that's good. Yeah, somebody needs to keep track of the number of times a year that he quits golf, because it seems like it's pretty frequent, so I'll take the over.
Yeah, Meat Sauce, shot tracer. Tracker.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we have a lot of fun things for you tonight. We are going to do a bets update. We got a couple bets to talk about. Of course, we got quotes of the week. We're going to do the bracket update. It's the final four, and we have the final matchup set. So we'll talk about that. We're going to go down memory lane with a guy by the name of Brock Lesnar. So promises to be fun. And we're going to do quotes notes again. So we'll get ready for that. And we'll start, as always, with a bets update.
Here's this week in Power Trip Bets.
Power Trip Bets. Power Trip Bets.
Power Trip Bets.
Power Trip Bets, though.
Power Trip Odds.
All right, we got a couple bets to talk about this week. Dave, you and I profited off of the first one, the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. Thank you, Joey Chestnut.
Nom, 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 nom.
It was just mowing down weens.
Oh, it was the best. It was very interesting. It's the first time my wife has ever watched this contest, and to say she was grossed out is mildly understating it. It was one of those things. She couldn't take her eyes off of Mickey Sudo in the women's competition. And I kept telling her, the pace that she's going at, that's slow compared to what Joey's going to do. So just buckle up. And it was one of the most dramatic Power Trip bets ever. Joey had an unbelievable pace at the beginning. He slowed way down around the 5-minute mark, and it looked like for a while he was not going to get to the record. And then in the last minute, he kind of picked up the pace again. He was at 73 with 12 seconds to go, and, you know, anything can happen at that point. He hit 74 just a few seconds later, and then 75 almost right at the buzzer to give the victory to Meat Sauce and Zach, which was Zach's first ever Power Trip bet win. So congratulations there, Zach. I'm sure he would have preferred cashing the golf tournament a couple weeks before that. But hey, you take what you can get. Zach and Sauce win the money from Chris and Corey.
So I would say in my gambling career, that had to be one of the lowest moments of my life, was sitting in the cabin on the 4th of July, beautiful weather outside, and watching a grown man consume hot dogs. And gambling on the, you know, the 70 over 73 and a half, just absolutely exhilarating. At the five, I think it was like the 550 mark, he hit 50. I'm like, there's just, I mean, doing the math, he was still at like 9.5 dogs per minute or something. You know, they had that stat on there, which was a key metric for pacing, for people who had the, played the over under. But my God, he just started to slow down. And then the announcer guy, I forget his name, but he's always terrific. And, you know, he was kind of throwing out the doubt. Oh, maybe this isn't the year for the record. And, you know, Joey is, you know, he's really starting to slow down. And then Joey just heard that and went beast mode again and picked up the pace. So, you know, an assist to the announcer, hot dog announcer guy, for getting Joey over the mountain there.
For sure. And Joey opened minus 2,000 to win the competition in 2021. So my advice to you is to wait, because I do have a feeling those odds will come down a little bit prior to the contest, and you don't want to lock your money up for a whole year at this point. So just hold off on that for now. But no. Yeah, set some money aside. It always makes the 4th of July a lot more fun. The other bet we got to talk about is the Patriots over under 9 wins. So Chris Hockey had a very strong feeling about this and threw out that he feels like the Patriots will go over 9 wins even without Tom Brady. And of course, this was on the heels of the Cam Newton signing that the Patriots did. So Hawk and Tommy each have $100 against Corey, Sauce, Lieber, and Rosie. So it's a $400 on the line for Tommy and Hawk each, and $200 each for Corey, Sauce, Lieber, and Rosie. So quite the bet there against them. I think 9 is a fantastic number.
It is.
You know, but honestly, I can't see the Patriots only winning 8 games and going 8-8. I feel like, you know, if I had to bet my money, I would bet that they're going to go 9-7 this year. So I think it's going to be right at the number. Should be an interesting line the whole year. But it's going to be tough to hit the over too. So Dave, which way would you lean if you had to go one way or the other?
So, like you said, 9 is a very good number in this spot. If there was a book or the ability to buy the half a win there and to get it to 8.5, I would for sure be on the over, and I would actually consider placing like a rather hefty wager on the over 8.5, even if it is minus 150, even 160. I just think even before, and not even really throwing Cam Newton in that mix, because we really don't even know if he's going to be the starter. They were very confident with Stidham going into him at this point. Brady or Belichick always has a plan. That defense standing, one of the probably top 5 in the league. So I guess I would be on the over if it was 8.5, and I would lean over on 9 as well.
Yep. I think it's a really, really good number. So yeah, and it's interesting too, because yeah, the odds to be the starter, Newton's just barely favored over Stidham. It's almost even between the two of them. So lots of fun there. I love these lengthy football bets. We got a lot of bets on football season this year on the future. So hopefully we get a full season out of everything so that all these bets can actually settle. So it would be a good thing. All right, well, that's all I got for bets. Let's do some quotes.
They're memorable. They're timeless. They'll probably get Meat Sauce fired. It's time for the quotes of the week.
Power Trip Quotes.
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 All right, friends, it is time for the quotes of the week. And we will start at number three with the GOAT of quotes, Chris Hockey.
This is a banger.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Written by Bruce Hornsby.
Really?
Yeah.
Hi.
Who once tried to sleep with Chris's wife?
More than once.
What?
Whoa.
True story.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. Yeah, he tried once. I don't know how many times he succeeded.
Genius.
But yeah, I really don't.
Yeah, sometimes it's that quick twitch that really makes it a good quote. But that was just outstanding from Mr. Hockey.
And every time Mandolin Rain comes on the radio, that's the first thing I think of is Kim Hockey.
Oh, I'm sure she would be very happy to know that, Chuck. All right. Well, at number two, it's your host, the creator of the Initials game, Corey Cove.
Wow. I love when Max plays.
You do?
He's great.
That's so sweet.
I love Max. I love
so
Max.
Yeah, I know
my
I can
favorite
tell.
Person in the whole station.
It's because he hooks you up at the VOO.
Now, what he hooks, Rosie up at the VOO with, maybe it's a Joey Chestnut situation. They got the free hot dogs and, you know, all the Diet Pepsi you can drink. So I guess we'll never know, but.
Rosie's over there canning dogs at a record pace.
Just sucking them down like a cart. Oh, great, great. Well, we will move to the number one quote of the week, and this one got a ton of traction on Twitter. It is our good friend, Paul Meat Sauce Lambert.
I couldn't even get through the first sentence.
Well, words are tough.
They very are.
Wow.
Wow. You really are Charlie. You are, you're Charlie.
They very are.
You're Charlie, you are, man.
Brilliant.
Even if that was planned, which I 99.9% think that it wasn't, that is just so genius. That is so meat sauce. Not Paul Lambert. That is so meat sauce to reply with that.
For sure. That's. I think I'm going to start using that phrase in everyday conversation. They very are.
Yes, they very are. Well, those quotes were very good, and there they are for the week.
They very are.
It's time for the weekly segment of Your Thoughts. Copyright Dark Star.
All right. This week on Your Thoughts, we're going to do a bracket update. We're going to go down memory lane with Brock Lesnar, and we're going to do quotes notes. So we'll start with the bracket. So we are down to the finals. We had two semifinal matchups, and the champion of the breast region, to no one's surprise, it's Moose Soup Lady. She makes it into yes. the finals. Not shocking at all. This was probably the closest match that she's had, but it was a fairly decisive win once again, scuttling into the finals. I always watch the polling like for the first, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes just to kind of see which way it'll go, because you usually have a pretty good idea after 10 or 15 minutes. And she started off behind, and I was like, well, maybe this is what does her in. But at the end of the day, she easily prevailed. So Moose Soup Lady into the finals. Your thoughts?
Dirty bitch. Oh, I love it. I'm a big supporter of the Moose Soup Lady. Although, you know, all of these are tough because you know, I love them all for so many different reasons. And just the Joe Nelson call alone in that Meat Sauce soundboard calls is just a legendary moment. On top of like the Mike Doherty call where he's basically like in a super high pressure situation with a client, the sales client. And he just, are you horny? Or are you naked? Or are you good? And he's like, oh, I gotta go. Sorry. Bye.
Bye.
Like, I mean, it's just legendary. But go Moose Soup Lady, go.
And in the yoga pants region, you know, this one did surprise me. I really thought that it was going to be Tommy Zamboni versus Moose Soup Lady. And at the end of the day, Hawk finding out what the podcast makes beat Tommy Zamboni, and actually fairly decisively. It was about a 60-40 split on that one. And what the podcast makes and Hawk's Meltdown is going to the finals. Yeah, a little bit surprising there, but your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, both of those are good as well. What the podcast makes has kind of lingered now for a while. I think that was September of last year. And I think it's still a little sore subject around the office in the studio there. So maybe that's playing into it as well. But I don't know. They were both great. So I think it's going to be tough to take down Moose Soup Lady. But I think what the podcast makes could really give it a run for its money.
Yeah, I got to make Moose Soup Lady, you know, at least about a -150 favorite here. She won the button bar bracket last year and has pretty much waltzed her way right to the finals. So it's going to be tough to stop, but people do love the ramp that Hockey went on and continues to go on just about every Tuesday when Bonus is in studio.
So. Yeah, what is it about John Bonus's presence that just triggers it every Tuesday?
And I love to one of my favorite subtle things now too is whenever there's something that, you know, either legitimately is a sore subject or for bit mode is a sore subject, Meat Sauce will always go, oh boy, like, let's not bring us up, let's not go down that road. And what right. The podcast makes is one of those. It's just, oh boy, like, let's stay away from this, no controversy.
And you know what, I guess I'm kind of over the fact that a lot of the big seeds have gone down now, but it's still frustrating. I don't think we're gonna leave this thinking, oh, that was the best moment. I think we'll find out what some of the people who voted on Twitter think is the best moment in Power Trip history. But I guess personally, I don't know. I'm not going to say, you know, not my champion, but I don't think my favorite moment is going to win.
Yeah. And not to go too philosophical on this, but as the, as one of the semi-historians of the Power Trip Morning Show, I will say that you can't boil the Power Trip Morning Show down to one moment. And that's right. Kind of what we've tried to do with this bracket just for, you know, just for fun and just for voting and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, it's really, you know, you look at the totality of how the bracket started, the initial field of 24, and that really speaks to the Power Trip and just some of the randomness of it, some of the spontaneous things that have happened, some of the weirdness that has happened over the years and everything. And it's really that totality that paints the picture of the Power Trip much more so than like one solidifying moment. It speaks to the fact that, you know, when you have moments that just, you know, people, you know, happened 4, 5, 6 years ago and people still laugh at and talk about and bring up, it just speaks to, you know, just the overall brilliance that we've seen, you know, and how much the show really does make us laugh and is memorable. So
for sure.
So yeah, I mean, and I think either one of these two is going to be a great representative of like a single moment, but yeah, it's really the totality of the field that speaks to the show.
Yeah, and I was thinking about it too. I mean, you know, the show's been going on since what, 2001 now. Think of like breaking down like the, you know, the guys talk about Howard Stern a lot, and I used to listen a lot more than I do now. But you know, think about the Howard Stern fan base trying to break down the greatest moment in, you know, Stern show history. I mean, it's just years and years and, you know, endless, you know, memorable moments and favorites. You know, it's impossible. It's the, you know, the very lazy reference of, you know, which kid is your favorite.
Right.
So I don't know. I think if anything, this tournament was more to celebrate the greatest moments that have happened in Power Trip history and to kind of rekindle those moments. So I hope that we've done that at the end of this.
For sure. And we will also, so we'll probably put the poll up, you know, next Monday or Tuesday. We'll let it run for probably a couple of days just to make sure that, you know, everybody has a chance to vote in case you're off and on of Twitter. We'll retweet it a couple times just to make sure you get to see it. And but yeah, hopefully by next week's show, we will have the winner. And we will also be announcing our Honey and Mackey's gift card winners next week as well.
Ooh.
So 6 of you will be getting some, maybe some of that Cookie Monster ice cream.
Yeah. Oh, that looks so good. I saw that after a round of golf the other day, and I'm like, man, 95 degree heat. Nothing would sound better than going down to Honey and Mackey's right now. And yeah, I think I'm actually going to go down there on Sunday and get some ice cream. So excited to try Honey Mackey's for the first time in person.
It's the best. I've still got 3 pints in my freezer that I'm trying to like stretch out until the next time I get to Minnesota. But yeah, it's the best. So yes, 6 of you will, or potentially fewer than that, because you could potentially win twice. But yeah, we'll give those gift cards away next week.
Touch it.
Down memory lane we go.
One of the other things the Rubes love, in addition to some of these great moments over the years, is when we go down memory lane. And I know a lot of our listeners are big fans of the Superstar and remember back to the days when Superstar was still on the show. And I decided to go way back in the Wayback Machine. And I almost, you know, I was telling you before the show, Dave, I almost didn't do this, this down memory lane. But you know, a couple things happened at the end that I found rather amusing. And so I felt it was worth it. And so this is a down memory lane from 2009 when Brock Lesnar called into the Power Trip morning show. You know, Brock over the years called in several times. You know, him and Superstar were buds. And this was mostly to talk about, you know, what his training regimen was and what potentially his next fight was going to be. And I thought with UFC 251 coming up on Saturday,
yes,
this would be a great time to go. So here is Mike Morris talking to Brock Lesnar.
On the phone right now. You want me to prove it, Meat Sauce? You want me to prove that we can find someone really big to put on?
Prove it. Don't make it up.
All right. I'm not going to mess around. I'm going straight to the source. How about Brock Lesnar, everybody? Brock Lesnar, what's going on?
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, it's an honor to be on such a big-time radio station with a big-time superstar.
Well, I can't blame you for saying that. I am a big-timer. You'll address me as sir as well. You're not laughing. You're not laughing at me, are you?
Yes, ma'am.
You SOB. I can't believe he said that. I can't believe he
I think
just
he just
said,
called you ma'am.
I can't stand him.
So yes, a little bit of attitude from Brock right off the bat there. I always loved it when a superstar would tell people, "You will address me as sir."
Yeah.
That was one of the things about Superstar, especially in some of the video clips and stuff, because obviously they use video a lot more now than they did back in the day. But if you go back and watch any old video clips with Superstar in it, the way he would get like that real serious look on his face,
yeah,
and kind of command the room, and he'd be like, "You will address me as sir. You will do this." You know, it was like that very like intimidating presence that he would get, you know, obviously in bit mode, but it was always fun to watch.
It's so intense. Like his eyes and like his facial expressions are like so intense. Even like in the, like when he's trying to break the powdered donut eating record too, like he's just like so like intense.
I think we'll do that one someday on a down memory lane, but that one, like that's one where I feel like the audio isn't gonna do it justice, so
right.
But maybe we'll do that one in the future. Well, Brock had fought Frank Mir twice, and he was getting set to face him for a third time, and so they talk a little bit about that.
I'd really like to fight Frank Mir again.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I wasn't sure if you'd want to talk about it, and maybe you still don't. But of course, the things that have been said, and now he's kind of gone back on it and sort of backtracked and apologized for making the remarks that he made a few days ago about, you know, basically, I'm just going to come out and say it. He said he wanted to kill you. He wanted to make you the first guy to die in the octagon. Your thoughts?
I don't know what to do. He's still trying to pull his foot out of his mouth. And when you say something like that and your wife has to go out and apologize for you, you're pissed somebody off.
So, Frank Mir is quite the Todd.
Frank Schmier.
Yeah, pretty much. And thankfully got his ass kicked by Brock a couple of times there. But they spent quite a bit of time talking about good old Frank, because that was the match that Brock was ultimately getting ready for. And that's pretty intense when you're threatening to or stating that you want to physically kill somebody in the octagon.
Yeah, you know, those guys tend to be pretty intense, especially in the press conferences and, you know, to kind of hype up and, you know, get the eyes and the attention on these big matches and stuff. But just saying that you're going to physically, you know, actually kill somebody in the ring, settle down, Frank.
Calm down, Frank.
You know, pardon the pun, but get off your power trip here. And obviously, I'm sure he was a big underdog because Brock, in his short time in the UFC, was actually a pretty solid fighter.
Yeah, pretty dominant for sure. All right, yeah. The next clip I have here, one of my favorite sayings from the superstar makes its presence.
Mir is just the kind of guy that you just love to see have his ass handed to him, and you've done that already. You actually had him twice. You beat him down twice.
I love the phrase "have his ass handed to him" because it just paints the visual of like I beat you so bad that your ass fell off. But there's a level of politeness here. I'm going to pick up your ass and hand it politely back to you,
sir. Here is your ass back.
He handed his ass to him. So yeah, I love one of the first things that was shocking. I remember listening to the Power Trip for the first couple of times, and callers would call in, and I was used to hearing callers on sports talk radio, and it's like they got their opinion, and maybe the host agrees or disagrees. But to hear Superstar like threatening the listeners and asking if he can choke them out or all the different colorful expressions that he would have. Oh, it was so freaking brilliant. I think it's one of the first things I really latched onto was just the way Superstar would handle callers.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like a billion years ago since he's been on. And I've just listened to so much without it that it's kind of cool to go back and listen to him again because you kind of miss. And I kind of forget some of his cadences and his, just because I can't get that audio anymore. So it's fun to hear.
Absolutely. All right. Well, this is kind of a cool moment. Brock made an announcement.
On the personal side of things, before I let you go, I've been told at least you told me last night that you had something else, some big news. Come on, man. Come on. Now, don't do this.
Yeah, don't do this is right. Next time I see you, I'm going to punch you.
I don't care. Look, you know what? It's just, yes. I'm trying to, you know what? You're something else. You know what, Lesnar? I might just have to take an ass whipping. Yeah. Now, let that be a lesson to you. Oh, come on. Are you going to say it or not?
I'm going to be a new dad in July. So I got a big month coming. July. My wife is carrying my second son, and I'm very very happy about it.
That's awesome. Now, why?
Congratulations,
that's
Brock.
That's great, man. I wanted you to come on and say that. Jeez, I hate you.
So that was kind of cool. Brock made the announcement after.
Yeah, very very voluntarily.
Yeah, after Superstar basically threatened to fight with him, so. Oh, so brilliant. But yeah, that was cool. I guess he's got four kids now, so that was number two at the time. So yeah, well,
congrats on the sex.
Yeah, he's apparently on the Matt Burke plan, so calm down, saddlebags. All right. Yeah. Well, I mentioned that, I wasn't even sure if I was going to use this audio or not. Those are kind of some cool moments. It's always cool to hear Superstar and stuff. A lot of what I cut out of that was just, them talking about, UFC and, more just serious, like UFC talk and stuff. And then I heard this clip. And this was the one that I decided we 100% have to play this audio and go down memory lane with Brock. Ah, the piece de resistance.
Hey, Brock, we were debating earlier, and I want an answer from you, if it's possible. I'm 29 years old. At what age could your son beat me up? How long is it going to take him?
Well, what I want to know, Sludge, is you're 29 years old, and have you gotten laid yet?
Jeez.
Such a jerk.
Jeez.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that was brilliant. First of all, that he calls him Sludge, of course, right off the bat, and then have you gotten laid yet? So
well, it sounds like he was coached by Morris there a little bit.
He might have been, but oh my gosh. Well, yeah, that really cracked me up doing that jab at Corey and stuff. And it was funny too to note, like, you know, you can hear the difference in Corey and Sauce's voice, more so Sauce than Corey, but
yeah,
it's so funny to go back and listen to old episodes and hear how their voices have changed. And it's just a little bit different to listen to.
Yeah, Corey's voice definitely has, you know, lowered an octave or two over the years. And, you know, Sauce's voice, you know, pre and post summer teeth is just kind of night and day. But, yeah, you know, I kind of like that summer teeth voice, too, you know.
Plus he was closer to his ripping heaters days, so
that's true.
That tends to change the voice a little bit as well.
A little gravel in the voice box.
All right, well, hope you enjoyed that little trip down memory lane, and we'll have more of those. Yeah, we'll definitely got some more audio in the old archives for you guys to listen to. So all right, well, it's time for another Quotes Notes Open. You got any preface for this, or should we just play the disaster?
Let's just rip the band-aid off.
Quotes Notes! Quotes Notes! Quotes Notes! Quotes Notes!
Well, that was a very meat saucian effort there.
Yeah. Yeah. Not my best. I figured you'd like, I got so much good feedback off of a short one last week that I thought I'd stay in the same theme, but yeah, I definitely mailed that one in a little bit.
The best part about it is that it was short and it was over quickly, but that was a little bit mailed in, I have to say.
Yeah, we'll come back with a better effort next week.
All right, well, what do you got for us?
Okay, first one I got, the Paul box was found. I saw it on Twitter it was Michael, at MM Property Team. He got the Paul signed initials game box. Very cool. Always wondered to, you know, kind of figure out who was going to get that one. Next up, yesterday's after party podcast was, streamed live. And I don't know if they're planning on doing this every week or what, but I feel like it was pretty cool to actually see, you know, have a video of it. If there's any way that they could sync up the, you know, the premium, you know, the speakers to the video, I think it would be an absolute home run. But Chuck, did you watch the after party video?
No, I just, I saw the still shots on Twitter and stuff like that, but, no, and I probably should have, because as of this recording, they still haven't posted the after party for yesterday or today. Maybe Hawk is holding out for a paycheck.
Maybe he has drawn the line in the sand here. Next up, we already talked about it. Joey Chestnut in the over, equals free money. It's just like 'tis the law. Just free money there. Hawk's hair looks great. I love the blonde look. I would bang him, you know, with any hair color, but I feel like blonde, you know, just really fits. It looks very authentic on him.
It feels like concert season when he's blonde.
Exactly. Yeah, it's time for the business.
Yes,
business Hawk. I talked last week about starting The Sopranos, but instead I watched the show that you really like, Chuck, Schitt's Creek.
It's the best.
It's super good. I didn't think I would, you know, I thought it was going to be kind of cheesy, but damn, it's really good. I'm already through like a season and a half, so loving it.
it's if you set aside Curb Your Enthusiasm, which, I mean, between Seinfeld and Curb, you know, flip a coin for my favorite comedy of all time, but outside of Curb, you know, it is easily the best comedy since The Office for me. It is so freaking good, and it's so funny to go back and rewatch it, because, you know, we still haven't seen season 6 because they haven't put that on Netflix yet, even though it's been out for a while. You know, we watched seasons 1 through 5, and then we went back and started over with season 1 again. And I remember when I started it, I liked it, and it was good, and it made me laugh and everything like that. But it took me about, I don't know, probably about halfway through season 1 for me to, like, just fall in love with it and just absolutely think this is brilliant. And now I go back and we started from the beginning, and those first few episodes again, I was like, what on earth was I missing? I think the one thing that it came down to was the daughter, Alexis. The first, 5 or 6 episodes, she annoyed me. And I was just kind of like, she's annoying, and I don't really get her character and whatever. And then as the series goes on, you know, she's brilliant, and she cracks me up all the time too. And so, like, rewatching from the beginning with her, you know, understanding kind of her full character and everything like that, it's so much better. So yeah, I love every character on that show. And anything that Chris Elliott is in is a guaranteed home run. He is brilliant.
For sure. Yeah, I'm really excited to keep cruising through all of that.
It is so good.
I can't wait. Hawk brought up Arby's sauce the other day in the After Party podcast. I would literally bathe in Arby's sauce. It is so good. Probably a top 3 fast food sauce for me. Okay. Chuck, do you fancy yourself some Arby's sauce?
Yeah, you know, it's all right. I'm not huge on it, but I do have a great little quick 1-minute story on Arby's sauce for you. A buddy and I used to go on hockey trips all up and down the East Coast, going to just all sorts of different arenas, going to, you know, city to city to hockey games. And we went to Long Island, where our good friend Mark Parrish played. This was before his time, if I remember right, if I recall, recollect. They were playing out on Long Island at Nassau Coliseum, and my buddy is a big Arby's guy, and we stopped in at Arby's, and, you know, we get roast beef, like the, you know, beef and cheddar, and he asked for Arby's sauce, and they looked at him like he had 3 heads.
What?
He was like, you know, Arby's sauce. And they're like, she was like, oh, there's ketchup and stuff over there. And he was like, you don't have Arby's sauce, like even packets of it? And she was like, what? And we were like befuddled, like, we're in an Arby's and these people have no idea what Arby's sauce is. And so we sit down, and, you know, my buddy was like, you know, he was one of these guys, he'd put 2 or 3 or 4 packets on each burger that he got.
Lucky.
Oh, for sure. And so we sit down, and he's like, all right, I guess I'll choke it down without the Arby's sauce and stuff. And you know how Arby's roast beef is like that perfectly cut, thinly sliced beef? These were like quarter-inch thick, like, clumps of beef that were on the buns. It was disgusting. Like, it was like some rogue Arby's franchise or something out on Long Island that is somehow getting away with serving these gigantically thick, gross cuts of beef with no Arby's sauce. I'm like, I don't know. Very, very odd experience. But if you're ever in Arby's, you ask for Arby's sauce and they have no idea what you're talking about, turn around and run.
It sounds like you went to, like, Barbie's or something like that.
Seriously. Like, I'm not kidding you. When we walked out, I double-checked the sign because, you know, you get, like, these places, like, you know, famously, like, there's one Watson Burger that rips off Whataburger.
Yep.
And, you know, so you get some things like that where it's, like, they rip off the original one. I was like, is this really an Arby's or is this, like, Arnie's or something like that? But, yeah, no, it was Arby's. I would love to go back and understand, like, what the real story was there, but yeah. Scary.
Okay. Just a side note there. Greasiest Arby's I've ever been to in my life, Augusta, Georgia. The day before the Masters we went, Augusta is an absolute shithole, except for that golf course. And yeah, it's very trashy, ratty.
I cannot imagine the bathroom at that Arby's.
Oh, you don't even want to know. All right. Done with Arby's fan line there. Let's get back to quotes and notes. Hawk brought up the Magic School Bus show, and more specifically, Miss Frizzle. Totally had a crush on the Frizz back in the day. Elementary school. Chuck, do you remember? You're for sure. How old is Magic School Bus? Do you even know what Magic School Bus is?
I do, but you know, it was never in my wheelhouse. So I think it was a little bit after my time, if I remember right.
Because I feel like it came out like right when I was in elementary school, and like almost 30 now.
Yeah, it would have definitely been after my time. But a lot of that stuff I caught though too, because my brother's quite a bit older than me, and so like he's got two boys and two girls, and you know, I caught a lot of stuff with them too, and. But yeah, the Magic School Bus just was kind of one of those that sort of skipped me over. I know it's on Netflix now, but I've never really gotten into it.
Mm.
But maybe I need to check it out for the Frizz.
You might want to. yeah, she's kind of my Elastigirl. Next up, the movie Purple Rain absolutely wails. Can't believe that a guy as eclectic as John Bonus doesn't watch it or has never seen it. Man, that was one of the first movies that I watched when we put in our home theater and surround sound. Lucky was that movie, because I fancy myself some Prince, and just that movie is, you know, I mean, it's shot in Minnesota. You know, they go into the Lake Minnetonka, and there's a couple breasts in there. It's an outstanding movie, if you ask me.
They're real and they're spectacular. Yes.
They're out and they're dragging on the beach.
Yeah, I mean it's not the greatest movie of all time by any stretch of the imagination, but the nostalgia of it, just the whole like, it's one of those where the whole movie just has this cool vibe to it, you know.
And well, it's like him telling his life story, and it's almost like a, you know, half of like a live concert in there, and there's yet some plot, and like, I don't know. I feel like it's really cool.
For sure. And one of the things I put on our agenda for an upcoming episode is I want to do like the Bermuda Triangle of movies that you've never seen that would like be shocking to people, because I think I've got a couple that make that list. So we'll do that in a few weeks. Maybe we'll have Mr. Z on too, and it'd be interesting to find out what are like two or three movies that Mr. Z has never seen that would like kind of shock people. So anyway.
Yes.
Future show on air production meeting there.
Yes, I love it. Okay, only two left. Next up, bought a bottle of Grey Duck vodka. Now, I've had myself two or three bottles of Northland vodka, and I ran out on the 4th of July, went to the liquor store, did not find that. But I did find some Grey Duck vodka, and I will say it was delightful. And it, I was making up some of these fancy cocktails. It's not that fancy, but they're called a transfusion, which is vodka, ginger ale, and a little bit of grape juice. And you put a lime in there and mix it all up, and it is pretty phenomenal. UFC 251, this is my last one. I literally can't wait. I've say it almost every week, but I've just been so into the UFC lately. And you know, the main card got a little screwed up with the positive COVID test from Burns from Brazil. He is absolutely phenomenal, and he was rightly deserving of that title fight in the welterweight division. But let me tell you, folks, if you have not seen a UFC fight, buy this pay-per-view, $64.99. And just watching Jorge Masvidal fight Usman is going to be worth it. Jorge is way more than just a fill-in here. He's got 48 career fights. I mean, Max was talking about it the other day, but you know, set the record for quickest knockout in UFC history in 5 seconds with a flying knee. It's going to be awesome, and this card is just absolutely packed. So if you've never watched UFC at all, even if you just want to tune into the prelims and just get a taste of it, have a couple cocktails. It is fun. I went from never watching the UFC at all until, I think, January or February, and now I'm just all in on it. It is electric. I love it so much.
It's no hot dog eating contest, let's be honest.
No, that's true. Yeah, no sucking on wieners in the UFC.
All right, brilliant. All right, well, we will be back next week. We've got a big, big interview for you guys, so you will want to tune in for that next week. And in the meantime, Dave, where can they find you at?
You can find me on Twitter or Instagram at PowerTripQuotes.
I'm, of course, at PowerTripBets. Thanks for listening, guys. You have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Bets and Quotes podcast. Be sure to give us a rating on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. And if you think we're hideous, please lie.